the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Brains, right there is Catherine Jujek. She says she married it.
I did. Nice, simple name.
I love it. She's popping in from Ontario, Canada with a word of wisdom and some spiritual energy. She really helps people with grief recovery, and she has a very special intuitive gift. I mean, I talked to her for 5 minutes and she read me like a cheap novel. I'm scared.
Hardly. A nice one with a classy cover.
Oh, she's sweet. And the blue hair. They call her the blue hair medium. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that. And, you know, just really how we are going to get through this. Give us some inspiration. Give us some encouragement. There's a lot of people that are experiencing grief right now. The loss of jobs, the loss of family members, the loss of self-esteem, but it's not a loss of weight because I'm gaining it. So thank you so much, Catherine, for being here on the Edge, and welcome. Tell my Brains a little bit about you, baby.
Well, thank you, and I'm really happy about this. Well, I'm blue hair medium at this point with COVID hair. It is a little bit of gray, ash, blonde, and white included into that. So I'm wearing all the colors today. Tell me a little bit. You know, it's always a difficult question because you never really talk about yourself. So I've been working with spirit since I was around 2 years old. That's my first recollection of seeing dead people that were alive. And, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, like-minded, very similar. We have a lot of similar stories on growing up and having to hide or being, you know, with repercussions from telling stories, being a liar and all this kind of stuff. And after a series of health events and personal events and a lot of pain, I just decided I couldn't do it anymore. I lost a job. I don't even like saying I lost a job. I was flittered away from a job because I set it up so well that they didn't need me anymore, but it started me on my path to openly, you know, finally say that this is who I am and not having to hide anymore. So I read energy, I feel energy, I see energy. And when I'm working with a person, I'm working with what is going on within them in their physical body. So I literally at times step inside the person's body. And, you know, and just start to help chip away at things that you may be carrying that are causing slowdowns, frustration, anger, sadness, whatever, because there's so many things that are so deep seated, but there's also things that have happened in a past life that we have may have carried forward and working in this life. I also work with the person's, their personal universal energy. So depending on where they came from out in the ethers, I'm working with that as well. I do the grief recovery bit is kind of, I was actually doing that before I became a certified grief recovery specialist. And it just kind of worked hand in hand because there are a lot of people that still don't understand the energetic metaphysical part of, you know, people, the, you know, and how a person can get to the point where and extract from the person the things that I can, or that I see, feel, hear, taste, smell. I run all of the senses, but sometimes can be not very pleasant. So the grief recovery part itself is called the grief recovery method, and it is an actual course. So I run them differently. So there's a lot of people that just want to work through it spiritually, connecting in with their past loved ones, or even to their past selves because of losses that they have had in through this lifetime, whether it be relationships, jobs, you know, anything, vehicles, finances, you know, a loss is a loss. It's not necessarily always a person that's passed.
Absolutely. And, you know, people don't understand that. They think that, oh, okay, well, I'm just thinking of my loved one that has just went to the hereafter. So what happens to you when you go through this metamorphosis of change and all of that? Because again, it's a lot to take on. I was going to be a massage therapist, girl, and I quit because I touched somebody and I could really feel their energy and their sickness coming on me. And I was like, oh, pump the brakes. This is not for me. How are you that conduit? How are you able to take on that, channel it, and clear through and still remain healthy and sane? It's a lot.
It is. It's funny that you say about the massage therapist, because that's what I was going to do. And it was basically the same thing. I still do chair massage. I did a lot of things to hide the abilities that I have because I needed to have that outlet. And if I didn't, I literally was going to explode, or I was making myself sick. When I start working with a person, and it's like I was explaining earlier, there's a lot of times, you know, I'll start, you know, a conversation up with a person, and then they'll ask a question, and it's like I pop out of this, my human body, and then I'm over here. And, you know, so there's times it's very difficult to keep the two of me together. There's only actually three people that I've ever met in my lifetime that actually see me separate, which the first time that somebody said that, I was kind of spooky and freaky, and I thought, okay, well, they're like me, which, so it put me into a comfort zone. But I kind of go into a zone, if you want to put it that way. So, you know, like I was saying, like, I am able to.
Is it a zone, or is it a trance?
I guess it's somewhat like a trance. I just call it a zone because I just leave my physical being and I go over here, which is there somewhere, wherever that person is, that's where I go to meet their energy. And, you know, and if I, you know, like I was saying that, you know, like there's times that I actually step inside the person's body. And, you know, and can read and feel what's going on, and seeing any, you know, seeing certain things that, you know, may have happened in their life and or in a past life as well. So it's, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's keeping the separation, but bringing it together so that when I translate out the information that's coming in, it's in a language and a form that my client will understand. Does that make sense?
And so, yeah. I mean, is that every person that you come encounter with? Has there been people that you've come encounter with that, you know, the spirit and the energy has been blocked?
Very few. Very few. I've learned over the years that there are certain times where I just completely say I'm off limits, and, you know, I'm shutting down, and I, you know, and literally have to visualize like a box or something around me, and just shutting myself completely down and going into my human self. I never, in the past 5 years, and you know, we were talking about a skin condition that I had. The reason I received that is because I refused to be in my physical body. Because it's so much more wonderful. That's really good grammar. You know, and it's beautiful because, you know, going to your etheric body and going to that place, you know, a happy place, whatever, you know, everybody calls it a little bit differently there. It's just absolutely beautiful because there is no ego. There's no negativity. It's just divine. It's just love. It's, you know, it's you can't even describe it.
So now let's talk to the skeptic, the person that said, oh, you know, this is hoo-hoo, abracadabra, poof-poof, okay? And yeah, they have a right to believe that because they've never experienced it. They've never opened themselves up to it, and they're afraid of it. Number one, let's be real clear here, brains, okay? There's a difference between spirituality and religion.
Yeah.
Religion is your GPS, and spirituality is your destination. Now, you can agree to disagree with me if you want. I don't care. Because I know. I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. Okay? I'm wearing it. So, but it's different for everybody.
It is.
Everybody's experience is not going to be pleasant. Yep. Everybody's past life is not pleasant. Everybody's future is not pleasant. How do you cushion that when you're delivering that kind of information? Because people want to know. The first thing they would think, am I going to get COVID? Am I going to win the lottery? Is he gonna quit his girlfriend and come back to me? Am I gonna die? Those are like the four top questions I'm sure that you get asked all the time. And there's so much more to life. There's so much more to life. So how do you cushion?
Oh, absolutely. I actually get quite a few skeptics, and I have a lot of fun with them because inevitably I make them cry because something always comes forward, and it's usually a past loved one that, you know, will come forward, or something in their lifetime that had occurred that there's no possible way that I would know. And I, when I'm giving a session, I speak it, I apologize. I always apologize ahead of time because I have to give the message the way that it is translated through to me. So sometimes it can be very crass words coming out and words that I never would ever use. And, you know, so, and I just do what I do. You know, I can't really explain it. I actually kind of like, skeptics are cool because I also learn things as well, because there's always a reason, you know, there. And like you were saying, religion is over here, spirituality is over here. I have many people that I know from all different walks of life, from all different religions. And when you look at them all, they all blend together. They're all the same, because it's all the same as with spirituality. It's for the highest good. And we know when you're working metaphysically, is you're working with the spiritual side of things, where everything is perfect exactly the way that it is. There is no judgment. Nobody sits in a box. Nobody puts in a room. We are who we are.
Right. But you know, people always use that big $25 term, show up authentic. And girl, sometimes that is ugly.
Oh yeah.
You catch people with their wig off and their teeth out, and you know, wake up boogers in their eyes, authenticity, and they don't even know who they are. So until you identify with who you are and accept the good, bad, and the ugly, you can't be an authentic person. But then they look to you, and you have a lot of responsibility translating this information, because people are looking to you as a guide. They're looking to you as an influencer. You know, sometimes people get tricked up. And, you know, I have to have this conversation. Some people say, oh, you know, gypsies. I had one woman that was on my show that was a gypsy. I'm gonna save that for you, Bernie. That was a trip, okay? Because I got into it with her. Not, you know, negatively, but I went back and forth because it's different for everyone. And people say, yeah, well, this is so in contrast to my God. My God said that you don't deal with spirits, that you don't deal with false gods. But you know what, Brains? God is a spirit.
That's right. That's God, right. That's exactly. Force.
God is an energy force. I mean, you're not just reaching out and shaking his hand or her hand.
No.
Whatever you want to do, you know, you are talking metaphysically. You know, you are talking energetically. You are talking spiritually. You are, you know, you are laying your burden on something that you can't see, like this doggone COVID. But you know that it is real and it exists. So I just put that out there for you. You know, you got to edit and filter yourself. So now, grief recovery. I want to talk to you.
What was that?
I want to go a little bit about grief recovery. I got a friend, and she's really going through it. She's lost like 5 people in the last 3 years. I mean, just, you know, she's preparing a service for her brother. Her husband's bringing in the tables. He drops dead. You know,
oh
so she got her brother and her husband in the morgue at the same time. A man that she's loved and married for 35 years. I don't know how to support her. I'm a good listener. I'm not going to sit up there and say, I understand, because I don't understand. To empathize, and she's going through these phases, and I talked to her on the phone, and boy, was she angry. You talking about putting a cuss combination together? I was like, woo! But that was good, because she's, you know, she's letting that out. What can people do to support others when they're in a very tender spot like that?
Well, you basically have said exactly what you do. When people are going through grief, the last thing they want to hear is, I understand. And, you know, and looking on the other side of it, the person, you know, the friend or whoever, acquaintance, whoever it is very difficult for them as well, because they don't know what to say. But, you know, it's just an inherent human thing to want to help someone. My first line has always been, you know, I can't even imagine. All I can do is let you know that I am here to support you, to help you, you know, whatever the wording is, just to let them be, because you don't know what they're going through. It's just like when my daughter passed away, you know, people are saying, I know exactly how you feel. And I wanted to turn and say, no, you don't. It's because even though, I've worked with a lot of people that have lost children around the same age as what my daughter was, but I can understand the road that they're on, but there's no way that anybody can know what you're going through, because everybody gets things a little bit, you know, feels things differently. They see things differently. But just giving them the love and the support, and to know that, you know, that you are there when they're ready.
Right. And it has to be about when they're ready, because
exactly,
she's not ready. You know, I'll call and I know that she's there and she won't answer. And that's fine. I don't even leave a message. But I want her to know that, you know, whenever you're in that space that you want to talk, that I'm here for you. And, you know, she'll say, I'm raw. And I get ready for it. I put on my seatbelt and
because she's got a lot of anger, and she has she has right to that anger. And, you know, the one thing that I suggest when people say to me, this is what happened, they're shutting me out, I don't know what to do. And it's just like, do they have an email? Yep. I said, send them an email with just a heart. Send them a text message with just a heart. Or just say, I just want you to know I'm thinking of you. Because even though they're going stay away, at the same time, they're wanting to do this.
Right.
So, but they've gone into protection mode for themselves, because, you know, like your friend, two people that she's loved, and, you know, at the same time, that's huge.
That's great.
So she's angry at the world. She no doubt is angry at God. So, you know, and allow her to be angry, because that's the way that she's choosing to go through it.
Well, you know, there's phases to the grief that people go through, and it's not systematic. You know, one day you'll be in, you know, bargaining and negotiating. The next day you'll be in anger. The next day you'll be in pity. So it's just how you have to go through it. And however long it takes you to get through it, there's no, oh, well, it's been a year, it's been 2 years. You know, that's different. Let me ask you something too that I've noticed that people do. I wonder why people always try to fight other people's battles from the grave. You notice that? So when somebody dies, you know, you were mad and you've been left off the obituary. You've been left out of the will. You haven't been invited to the funeral because of someone else's perception. But that's very dangerous, because when you plot revenge, you have to dig two graves.
That's right.
Interjecting yourself into something that you shouldn't do. What do you say to those people? Because they're a trip. I haven't seen.
I'm actually am going through that right now with a client. You know, her father passed and nobody told her. And it was a situation of a second family. There's a long story behind it. And even as, you know, being somebody like, she did the grief recovery method course with me, and she's working through that, and she's putting everything that, you know, she learned into practice, but everything is still fresh, because now there's betrayal in there as well. So it's a new thing that's been brought in. So I, you know, the only thing with that is the same is, you know, let them vent. If they need somebody, grab a cup of tea, whatever it is, and just let them vent and let them know that they're, you know, they've done nothing wrong. They can beat themselves up, you know, and it's the questions. I don't know what I did. What did I do wrong? I did everything that I could. I don't understand. Why do they hate me? Why, you know, it's all of these why, whys. And the answer, one of the answers in this case on the question that this client had asked, I had just said to her, I said, you know, it's not about you. This is about your father's and his family and your extended family. This is their insecurities. Right. And I said, is that going to make you feel any better? Maybe not. But you've done nothing wrong. You've done everything that you could humanly possibly do, but everything else is out of your control.
And even if you have done something wrong, because none of us are perfect, take ownership. Yeah. Take ownership and forgive yourself. Heal.
Yep. Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
You know, you may have to duke it up on the other side when you see that person again. When you cross over.
Once, you know, Now, but once again, it's if you do not have one, and I say this to people over and over again, if you do not have 100% control, then you need to, you know, then, you know, take a look at where it's coming from and whose problem is it actually.
Right.
Not even really a problem. The ownership is, a lot of the times, it's something that's happening to the other person, mm-hmm. but they're projecting it onto you to try and make themselves feel better.
Right. And you know what? And again, like I said, sometimes it's none of their business, because there's history that people don't know about. There's three sides to every story, brains: yours, mine, and the truth.
That's right.
And so what we have to do is learn to color in the white spaces and try to be as pleasant as we can. Say what it is that you need to say right now to who it is right now to their face. You don't have to be ugly about it. You know, if you feel that you've done someone wrong and you want to make amends, maybe they'll accept an apology. Maybe they won't. But at least make that effort, because that relieves the angst on your heart. It allows you to walk on your journey knowing that you did the best that you could. Because there's a lot of ugliness going on. And I mean, it is magnified. It is magnified.
Oh, huge.
And, you know,
the other... I was going to say, the other thing to do is, you know, because they're, now that we've moved away from the Piscean age and we're into the age of Aquarius, there's a lot of new things that are beginning, not even really new things, but things that are beginning to erupt, where people are wanting to do and give, you know, give that, you know, extend the olive branch in that. But there are other people that they don't want to have anything to do with it. That leaves the individual thinking, I want to explain, or I feel the need, I want, you know, need to explain to, you know, to apologize or whatever, but they won't do it. Write it in a letter and then stand in, you know, and visualize that person and read what you want to say to them. You know, from there, visualizing that person is actually standing or sitting across from you, because everything is energetic. We're all energy. And even by doing that, that frequency reaches that person. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing what happens.
But I'm also into the burn offering. Okay, because, you know, I will burn some sage or nonchapa to clear my space. But if there is something that is really negative that is haunting me, I write it on a piece of paper and I toss it in the fire.
Yep. And that's, you know, there's,
and I let it go. Everybody has their own way of releasing their rituals, but do something. Not doing nothing is the hard part, you know.
Oh, exactly. And you're not doing yourself any favors.
You're not. And that's the cinder blocks. Well, you have done us a great favor. You've really cleared the air for us and, you know, lit a fire under us and a pathway to move forward. I want them to work with you. I want them to talk to you. I want them to touch you, because, I mean, you just went right in. You went right in on me. And I'm like, whoa, who is this? Where she come from? That blue hair. And I love it. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Catherine, please.
A few ways. I have a website, and that is www.thebluehair, and it's H-A-I-R medium at .com. And all my contact information is on there. And I am in connection all around the world through that. I give readings over Skype, Zoom, WhatsApp, Facebook chat, phone, if it's in the Canada-US corridor. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So, and I'm on Facebook, the Blue Hair Medium on Facebook. I'm on Instagram.
She's great, brains. You know, check her out. Just check it out.
Thank you.
That's all I'm saying, is just check it out. Just be open to it. You don't know. You don't have to sign up, okay? But once she taps in, you are not going to want her to tap out, because she's some good stuff. I bring you the best and the brightest right here on the edge from around the world, okay? We're not playing around. We are getting down, okay? I need you to subscribe to everything, the YouTube channel especially. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, Blog Talk, Spotify, LinkedIn, all these great places, because I'm just not sitting here collecting dust. I'm sitting here trying to find the best and the brightest to help us all. I learned so much from my brains. And I appreciate you so much, Catherine. You are beautiful.
Thank you
are
so smart. Much.
And I wish I could come to Ontario. You know, Canada is my PB&J. I love you Canadians. Yes, I do, because y'all love me. But it's just not going down right now, but it'll get back to normal or some resemblance of what we will perceive as normal. It'll never be the same, but it'll be different.
No.
And different is good.
Change is as good as a rest.
All right, brains, you have an exceptional day. I'm counting on you. I really am. Bye, Catherine.
All right, thank you.